Welcome to T21 Mom.
Hey friends, and welcome to the T21 Mom Podcast. My name is Mary, and I'm mom to Ainsley, who is rocking an extra chromosome with a slice of autism. And I am living life my way. And this is episode 127. Have you ever had a vision or a dream of something that was so intense that you knew it was going to happen? Of course, we all dream of winning the lottery. But what if your vision was so powerful that you even told others about it? Well, on today's episode, we are continuing the Down Syndrome Diaries, where Shiloh Cart shares her diagnosis story. But hers isn't exactly a diagnosis story. Shiloh shares how about a year and a half before she even got pregnant, she had a dream that was so powerful that she knew it had to be true. She had a dream that she would have a baby with Down syndrome and it would be a girl. Hear how she shares this with her husband and family and all the things that happened after that dream. Let's go have a listen.
Today on the T21 Mom Podcast, I'm talking with Shiloh Cart and sharing her diagnosis story. Welcome, Shiloh.
Thank you.
Now, I found your diagnosis story quite unique. It is like a vision. But before we get started, can you share a little bit about you and your family?
Sure. So I am married to a wonderful husband named Brian, and he and I share one child together. That is our little one, Lily, who's rocking her extra chromosome. I have one older son who is 18. And then we adopted our little girl, Everly, who she was terminally ill and passed away in 2020. Mm-hmm. So we just have two living children.
Oh, wow. And I'm curious, where did you adopt your daughter from?
She was our medical foster child. I did medical foster care for several years and had her as our medical foster child. And then when she received the terminal diagnosis and was given 3 to 6 months to live, I could not handle the idea of her passing away, not belonging to somebody, to a family, to, you know, kind of carry on that memory. So we made the choice to adopt her at that point in time.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, and how old was she when she passed?
She was 3.
Oh my gosh. It's heartbreaking, but also really heartwarming to hear that there's families like you who step up for something. I just think so important for those kids, you know, who are in that foster care system, and it can be such a challenging time, but how wonderful that she had a forever family to see her at her hardest time.
Too. Yeah, she was a sweetheart.
Oh, wonderful. Now, as I was reading over your diagnosis story, I found it was kind of surreal. It's almost, in a weird way, kind of like a backward diagnosis. So what happened about a year before you were even pregnant?
So about between a year to a year and a half before I was pregnant with Lily, I had a dream that was so realistic that to me, it really felt more like a vision. I truly believed that this was something that's going to happen. I had been told that I could not conceive or carry any more children. And my oldest biological child, who is now 18, so I kind of believed in the doctors when they said that. And in this vision, I had a dream that I had a baby girl, but she had Down syndrome. And I was so convinced that this was the case that I actually told my husband, my sister, my family that, you know, we would have a child, that she would be a girl and she'd have Down syndrome. They just thought I was crazy.
What did your husband say when you told him that story?
So my husband, we didn't know at the time. My husband is terminally ill. He had something called Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. And during the time when we found out about his diagnosis, it is a genetically inherited disease. And so Lily does have a 50% chance that she will have inherited it. And during this time period, just before we found out, we had a conversation and I said to him, "Now you realize that if we have a child that is going to be a girl and she's going to have Down syndrome, are you going to be okay with this?" You know, basically asked him how he felt about raising a child with special needs. I was totally okay with it. And I know this is going to sound weird to a lot of people. I actually looked forward to it. I'd met several young children with Down syndrome in the past and I just loved them. So it wasn't a scary thing for me. I was actually looking forward to it in some regards. he said he was fine with it, that it did not faze him in the slightest. And so we, you know, I don't think he believed me. I think he was just kind of placated me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did. We had to have a very real conversation about, was he going to be okay with that? Because I was that convinced that she was going to be a girl and she was going to have Down syndrome.
That's incredible. That is so amazing. So fast forward about a year from this time, you had maybe like a mother's intuition. Can you describe that for me?
So I had just found out I was pregnant. And ironically enough, this is the day we brought our Everly Grace home. And so I brought her home and I had a very, very, very strong feeling that I just needed to take a pregnancy test. I didn't know why. I didn't know where it came from, but I just did. And it came up positive. And we'd had so many miscarriages. I honestly thought it would end in another miscarriage, and she did not. Mm-hmm. And I immediately told my husband, if this one sticks, it's a girl and she's going to have Down syndrome. And I just kept saying that to everybody. I kept saying, it's a girl and she has Down syndrome. And everybody just kept, yeah, okay, okay.
Wow, that is so, like, it's a kind of uncanny. It's like you don't hear those kind of stories generally. So, you know, you already talked about how your husband felt about it, but now you're actually pregnant and yeah. You're still 100% convinced. Was he still okay with it, with your vision?
He was at this point in time. We had just gotten his diagnosis mm-hmm. and had decided to stop trying because we did not want to risk passing that on to a child. And I won't say unfortunately, because our daughter is a blessing, but mm-hmm. I didn't know it yet that I had already conceived her. And so I honestly think he was far more concerned with the guilt and the fear of what if he passed Huntington's on to her, mm-hmm. that for both of us, we did not care. You know, like I said, I was actually looking forward to it. And I just knew with every fiber of my being. So he still didn't believe me. He still was just kind of like, well, okay. My sister, my father, my brothers, like everybody that I told, they were just kind of like, wow. Okay. And, you know, but we hadn't got the test results back yet. So I didn't have any proof of it yet, other than me just insisting.
Wow. So you did decide to do the NIP test at around 11 weeks. So, I mean, I think we already know what the results were, but what were the results and how did you feel upon receiving that news?
So I knew. I was just like, okay. This is what it's going to show. And of course, it showed like 93%, you know, probability for T21. Everything else was perfectly fine. We did find out that we could not test for Huntington's unless you are going to terminate the pregnancy, mm-hmm. which I knew I was not going to do. So that was not something that they ended up testing for. And so I kind of took those results and it was almost like a ha-ha, I told you so to everybody that, you know, And then basically when I posted it and shared the news with everybody publicly, I said, I don't want unsorries. I don't want, oh, how sad, because this is not something that I'm upset about. And, you know, that I was preparing for this and knew that this is who she was going to be. And of course, we confirmed that it was a girl at that same time as well.
Mm-hmm. And so you get those NIP results, I don't know how people say it, NIPT or the NIP yeah. results. And so when you tell your family and your husband, who you've already been telling that you're going to have a baby with Down syndrome and it's going to be a girl, what were they saying after that? Like, what were they feeling?
Well, honestly, most of them were devastated. Mm. They all took the pretty stereotypical, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Several of them cried. And genuinely just acted like it was the end of the world. Others who knew and who we had shared the Huntington's diagnosis with, again, were far more concerned for that, mm-hmm. but understood our viewpoint. I think other than my husband and my sister was kind of used to it because I've had vision type experiences with other things in my life. And so she was just kind of like, oh, okay. she didn't really seem that surprised, but yeah, most people were still, even though we'd asked, ladies, it's not something to say sorry for. Most people were still, oh, you know, I'm so sorry, or it's so sad type reaction.
When they finally realize, like, that your vision, that you had envisioned was actually true.
Correct.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's hard, you know, when you're not feeling that way and other people are, you know, because.
You're almost guilt into feeling like, I guess I was made to feel bad about, like, that I couldn't be excited for her, that I couldn't be happy she was coming because that might, there somehow was something wrong with me. Because, well, surely I shouldn't be happy about this because everybody else acted like it was the end of the world. So it's just a very confusing thing. All right.
Yeah, that's totally understanding. I can totally understand that. I, for that exact reason, I told very few people because I didn't want that. I didn't want the pity or the I'm sorry's. And, you know, because was hard to for me because I mean I didn't have a vision that I was going to have a child with Down syndrome. You always think that you're going to have a perfect healthy child when you know when you get pregnant, but there's a lot of us that don't get that, and you know, and it's hard, but you know, then you find a way to get over it. And you know, I loved being pregnant, and I'm sure you did too, and you want people to be happy for you and not, like you said, like the world is over. Because it's not, as we've all learned, I think, that it just opens up a whole new world for us. So you already have your NIP results and you go to a doctor that's actually disputing these results and saying your baby doesn't have Down syndrome and is perfectly healthy. Like, what were your feelings at this point? Like confusion, surprise, anxiousness? Why is the doctor even saying this? Like, it just seemed so odd.
It was incredibly odd. The NIPT results are usually like, what, I think like 99% accurate or something like that. Very, very, very small window of error. And mine were so high that I didn't really think there was any disputing it whatsoever. We went in for the, what is it, the NucleFold, I think is what they call it, for that ultrasound. And not only did she not have an enlarged NucleFold, but her NucleFold was actually smaller than even a traditional healthy baby's would have been. And this particular doctor said he did, you know, not just the NucleFold, but looked at the size of her bones and length and said there were zero markers for Down syndrome whatsoever. And that the test had to be wrong because I told him she's got Down syndrome. It's a girl. And he told me, no, she does not. This is a healthy baby. That the test results were wrong. I see absolutely zero indications of Down syndrome whatsoever. I actually argued with him. He genuinely thought that I was insane. He lost my mind. He told me that you need to get over it. This is a totally healthy baby and you need to be grateful. And that was basically the end of that meeting. And so my husband and I spent the next several weeks. I don't remember exactly how many weeks. I want to say that was around 16 weeks or something. Mm-hmm. And then it was like in the mid 20 weeks when you had the anatomy scan.
Mm-hmm.
He spent those weeks, specifically me, convincing myself that I had lost my mind, that she's been on hypnotherapy. And again, I know this could sound insane, but I genuinely mourn the Down syndrome baby that I thought I was going to have and is being told I'm not going to have. So it's kind of the reverse of what a lot of parents go through. And so I really tried to convince myself, this is a blessing. You're having a healthy baby. You know, like, what is wrong with you? But I just couldn't let it go. It was that gnawing feeling in the pit of my stomach. And so when we got to that next ultrasound, before the doctor even came in, I turned to my husband and I said, you're going to find out today that she does have Down syndrome, mark my word.
And so this doctor has kind of planted these other seeds in your mind. Did you end up staying with that doctor? Because, I mean, you were so convinced even before getting pregnant that you were going to have a child with Down syndrome and was going to be a girl.
And the same doctor told me, no, she does not. She's healthy. You need to be grateful. Is the same doctor that did the anatomy scan at the 20 whatever weeks it was. It was the same exact doctor. And when the ultrasound tech was doing the ultrasound, I'd had an ultrasound previously with my son, and I knew what a normal pregnancy ultrasound was like, and I knew instantly something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just sense by the change in her demeanor and the length of time she was taking to scan things that something was wrong. And I kept, you know, asking her, what is it? What's wrong? I said, you can see that she has Down syndrome, can't you? And the lady, she's like, what? And I said, yeah, she has Down syndrome. No, that's not in her notes anywhere. And I said, no, but she does. And I was concerned for the heart because, of course, as you know, that's a fairly common complication. But she couldn't say anything. So she went through it. That's when I actually turned to my husband and I said, there's something wrong with her heart. Like she has Down syndrome. There's something wrong with her heart. And I said, and he looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, just prepare yourself. The doctor's going to come in and this is what he's going to say. The doctor came into the room with, there's four other people. There was the doctor, there was the social worker, and then I think it was two or maybe three, but they were like med students. Mm-hmm. And then the son of her in tech. I honestly don't remember if she ever came back in the room or not. But the doctor came in and he said, well, based on the ultrasound results that we found today and the NIPT results, we're 99% sure that your baby has Down syndrome. And he acted like this was just the most devastating news. And I looked at him and I said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, I'm the mother that insisted at my 16-week nuclear fold that this baby had Down syndrome. And you told me I was crazy and that she did not, that I have a perfectly healthy baby. And then he was like, oh, he kind of changed the subject. And then he started to immediately talk about, and I was late, I want to say 21, 22 weeks, somewhere in there at this point. So further along in the pregnancy. And he immediately said, okay, well, you know, you're far enough along that we need to start talking about your termination options right away before it's too late. And I said, there's no termination options. We're keeping this baby. And I'm not interested in termination at this point. We had our daughter, Everly, who was wheelchair bound in the room with us. And I pointed to her and I said, clearly we are prepared for whatever needs that this baby is going to have. And at that point, he turned his back to me and my husband and faced the other people in the room and proceeded to tell them all the horrible things that were going to be born, that my child is going to be born with, and all the ways that her life was going to be horrible and suck, and, you know, all the deformities and the developmental delays and all the medical issues and a, like, literally worst case scenario across the board. And then he popped up with a comment about, you know, 99% of his patients choose to terminate because they choose to do what's right for them and the child and not make the child suffer. And so at that point, I just said this, you know, we're done. This meeting's over. We're not terminating. And my husband and I left and did not go back and see him again after that point in time.
Wow. And I don't obviously mean that in a good way.
No.
That is so incredibly insensitive. And just appalling, to be honest, that a doctor would turn from you and say these things where you can obviously hear what is being said. And I don't think our kids are suffering. People need to get that notion out of their head. I don't see our kids suffering. And it's terrible that a lot of medical professionals still think that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that 99% of kids' clients, and that number has never left my head. 99%, meaning almost 100% of kids' patients terminate because of the info that he's feeding them. And that's in Florida. You know, this isn't in some other country who has high, this is right here in the United States.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's based on what this misinformed doctor is giving to people, because I've always felt that doctors, when they give the diagnosis, they need to be more sensitive about it, because it is literally a life-changing moment. Maybe not for you because you already had that vision, but for most people, it's life-changing because, you know, we often think our lives are over. How is this going to impact our lives, et cetera? But you don't ever forget it. And you're never going to forget how insensitive that doctor was, him explaining to the other medical students all this really misinformation to these young minds that are, who are going to be the next doctors. And that's really sad and really terrible. And because I always say you don't ever forget that moment when you hear the diagnosis. You remember everything around you. I don't remember much being said after I learned it, but I remember that moment, as I'm sure pretty much all of us do. And
yes,
I'm so sorry that that happened to you. But I mean, I think your story is so amazing that you've had this incredible vision of this baby before she was even conceived. Now, you kind of had sort of sounds like visions throughout your pregnancy. And you kind of had, I don't know, or if it's mother's intuition, but what kind of happened next? You had another sort of vision.
Oh, yeah. So, and to be honest, this experience, I did believe in the beginning that I was just being super over-paranoid. I don't remember when it started. I want to say around 26, 27 weeks into the pregnancy, I started having this overwhelming foreboding that Lily was going to die if she was not born by 28 weeks. Like, I kept seeing the number 29, that if we went to 39, I'm sorry, not 20, 39. If we went to 39, she was going to die. And I just thought, because I had done a lot of research, a lot of reading. And so I knew that there's a higher stillbirth rate with children with Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. And I really just believed that I was being overly paranoid, but I couldn't let that feeling go. It was literally eating me. And so I don't remember if it was around 28, 29 weeks into the pregnancy, I just fell apart and was crying hysterically in the doctor's office. I left the other doctor and found a different obstetrician who could accept my daughter for who she was, and they'll be happy for us. And she was amazing. And I just fell apart, started crying hysterically again around 28, 29 weeks, maybe. And I said, "You're going to think I'm insane, but I just can't let this go. That if she's not born at 38 weeks, she's going to die." I said, "I don't have any reason to say this. Like, she was very healthy. There was no major heart concerns. There was nothing about my pregnancy to warrant this fear, this concern." And I was actually really surprised when he turned to me and he said, "No, I don't think you're crazy at all." He said he learned long ago never to doubt a mother's intuition, and that because of all the higher risks, he had no issues whatsoever with inducing me at 38 weeks. So that's what we did, 38 weeks to the day. And by that point in time, she was breech, and I really wanted a natural vaginal birth. And he just, this was his intuition. He just kind of was feeling like, for whatever reason, a C-section was going to be safer. And I was absolutely petrified of the idea of a C-section, but just decided, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and listen to him. And we had the C-section, and she was born via C-section at 38 weeks on the dot. And we did not know until her first blood draws after birth that her platelet counts were critically low. I want to say they were like around 8 or 35 or something. They were so low that they could not even bathe her, because they said just to wipe her with the cloth could cause internal bleeding. And so had she been born vaginally, she would have had internally hemorrhaged and died, and nobody knew. You know, there wouldn't have been anything anybody could have done about it. And that her platelets were so low when she was born that had she continued and not been born at that point in time, she also would have died. And so, like, again, it was just that kind of whoa.
That's incredible. Do you feel that throughout your pregnancy, and quite possibly even before, that there was like some kind of maybe divine intervention?
Yes. Both my mother and my husband's mother passed away within 3 months of one another in 2016. And they were friends prior to passing. And I believe with all of my heart that both of our moms from heaven had a hand in it, and that they kind of helped to guide her here to us. And to, I believe, give me the vision so that I could mentally prepare ahead of time for what was to come, and to kind of pave that way, so to speak. But also, I believe that they're the ones who kind of gave me that intuition and let me know to push and to insist on what I did.
Wow, that's incredible. And so how old is Lily now?
She is 5.
She's 5. So is she in kindergarten?
No, she is in preschool. She'll start kindergarten in August.
Okay.
She'll do a couple hours. She does have some pretty significant health issues. So she'll be hospital homebound through the school system. Mm-hmm. But when her immune system is strong enough, she'll go in for socialization a few hours a day in the public kindergarten classroom.
Oh, fantastic. And you were mentioning earlier about when you were in with that horrible experience with the doctor. So was her heart okay?
Yes, it was. She had 4 when she was born. She did have 4 holes, but mm-hmm. they were small and none of them required surgery. And they have all closed completely on their own without any intervention. So we have no cardiac concerns whatsoever with her.
Wow, that's such fantastic news. I know, like you said, so many of our kids, you know, 50% have heart issues, but that's great news to hear that she wasn't one of them. So that's wonderful. Yeah. Now, you kind of essentially had a prenatal diagnosis for you. And I kind of think I know the answer to this, but do you think it was better than a birth diagnosis? I mean, you had a lot of time to prepare even before you were pregnant.
I do. I really do. I think for me, having a year to a year and a half before she's even conceived to come to terms with and accept and even come to look forward to and excited about. Because you have to remember, I was told I would never have any more children. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so just the idea I was going to be grateful for any baby. And so I do. I think it helped me to prepare in a way that most people don't ever get.
Yeah, I 100%. I think that's incredible. And it makes such a cool story that you completely envisioned this and it happened exactly how you thought it would. It's crazy, but it's amazing. I'm sure lots of people thought you were probably a little crazy, but not so much after they learned that you were actually right. So, you know, and another mom that I talked to, her name's Keller, and she actually prayed for a child with some extra needs, and her prayer actually came true. And you had a vision, a sense, like a knowing you were going to have a baby with Down syndrome. You sort of touched on it earlier, but did people believe you when you first told them, or did they just sort of, okay, yeah, whatever, kind of pawn you off?
I don't think anybody truly believed me. My sister knew, well, okay, maybe, but I don't think until I actually received the diagnosis that anybody really believed that was the case. And again, I think they were all hoping I was wrong because mm-hmm. The Down syndrome is still such a negative thing in mm-hmm. our society that I really think they all were hoping that I was wrong.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, but I mean,
it is, because she's amazing.
Yeah, and I know we're all trying to shift that narrative that of those old stereotypes about our kids being hidden away and that they're a burden and things like that. So, you know, and which is one of the reasons why I do this podcast. Like, I like sharing stories like yours, because people need to hear about our kids and that they are amazing and they can do amazing things. You even had a vision, intuition, or whatever you want to call it, before you even were pregnant with her, that you were going to have a child with Down syndrome. It was that powerful. You know, that I think it's just amazing. And what advice would you give someone who has just found out, either prenatally or even at birth, that their baby has Down syndrome?
Oh, take several deep breaths. You know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that it's all pussy willows and kitty cat. Lily does have medical issues and there are definitely challenges. But I can promise you there's something unbelievably, I almost want to say magical, about our children. Mm-hmm. They just have something about them that is otherworldly. I really don't know how to describe it. Mm-hmm. Lily, she not only has Down syndrome, but she also has autism. Mm-hmm. And she is just funniest, most charismatic little kid. She doesn't really fit into any mold. She's just Lily. She met her behind me on the wall.
Okay? Yeah, I can see the pictures.
She's just the coolest little girl I have ever known. She really is. She is absolutely the piece that we didn't know our life was missing.
Mm-hmm.
In ways that I never could have fathomed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she just brings so much joy, so much laughter. And again, she just, we didn't even know how badly we needed her until we had her. And I hate the idea that another family might miss out on this because mm-hmm. of the fear and everything I went through. You cannot deny that she was meant to be. Like, she has just as much right to her life and to be here as I do or you do. And
mm-hmm.
I look at her and it literally makes me want to cry to think of how quick the doctors were to say that she didn't deserve her life. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really heartbreaking. I know another mom friend who had a similar experience, not as negative, but the doctor told them later, not at the time of diagnosis, that I think he'd been in practice for 15 years and they were at that point the only family that had ever chosen to carry their baby to term. Which is, it's so devastating, you know, but I love hearing these stories like yours. And, you know, and when I found out that my daughter had Down syndrome, you know, they kept talking about termination and I said, it's not on the table. And they, you know, I think they were incredulous because I was a single mom by choice at that time, that someone in those circumstances would want a child with Down syndrome. But, you know, and as I've said many times, and probably similar to you, like you said, it was Lily's like your missing piece. And for me, my daughter Ainsley, she made me into the person I was always meant to be. I always kept thinking there's more. And I could never quite figure out what is it? Like, what is really missing from my life? And then after I had her, I go, well, that's what it was.
That's,
you know,
kind of fits you in a way that you never knew you needed completing. It's hard to explain.
I love that. And in a way that I never knew I needed that completing. Yes, that's exactly it. And yeah. And I know for us in this, the Down syndrome community, because we are on a different journey than people, like you have a typical older son, it is different. And like you said, it's not all pussy willows and kittens. I love that one. I often say rainbows and unicorns. It is not, but raising a human, extra chromosome or not, it's not all pussy willows and kittens. It never is, right? And I think people need to remember that. It's when you're raising humans, it's hard.
Yes.
You know, it's going to be hard. There's going to be challenges. But yeah, our kids, there's just something, like I think you said, magical about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree that they're definitely, it is. And is there anything else that you would like to share? I'm also just sort of a little curious, like your son's a little bit older and what their relationship is like.
So both my son and I are on the autism spectrum. We both have high functioning, what used to be called Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
And so Aiden is very much like myself. He tends to kind of struggle with social interactions or close relationships in that regard. So his relationship with her is kind of standoffish. I think he's still a little bit fearful of her.
Mm-hmm.
He's held her once and since she's been alive. You know, he definitely acknowledges her and he has no issues with her, but they both just kind of, it's almost like having two single children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he's 18 and he kind of does his own thing and stays off to himself. And then she's 5. And so it really is like being a singleton parent in a lot of regards.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been much different had she been born when he was younger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because there's quite a gap there. I could totally understand that. But, you know, and my daughter also has a dual diagnosis too. And that has its challenges for sure. But, you know, they have each other. And that's all that matters. So that's wonderful. I loved your story and I think it's incredible. Like, you know, that we have to trust, like you said, the mother's intuition and sometimes when get these visions or whatever you want to call it, that just kind of follow it and see where it takes you. Because I think it's just really quite fantastic. And, you know, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your visionary diagnosis story. I really enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
What a story. When Shiloh first shared her story with me, I was completely dumbfounded. What an incredible story. I think what she said, that there is something kind of magical about our kids, that they are otherworldly, is proof right there. I don't think I personally have ever had a vision or a dream like that. But I have found throughout life that there's been occasions where there are things that I just know with no real explanation. Like when I was pregnant with Ainsley and I had her echocardiogram, I don't know, but somehow I just knew that her heart would be fine. And it was. And I love that Shiloh had told her husband and her family, who, you know, probably were just placating her, and even prepared her husband at all the appointments about what the doctors were going to tell them. And I love that she challenged that doctor, even when he was certain that her baby was typical and would be born with no issues. And I'm sure people, including that doctor, thought she was crazy. But it was true. It was that powerful. And she nailed it on the head, at least for me anyways, but I'm sure for many of you as well, that our kids complete us in a way that we never knew we needed completing. And I know I can 100% say that for Ainsley. Thanks for listening to the T21 Mom Podcast, and I hope you are enjoying these diagnosis stories as much as I am. And if you would like to share your story, please leave me a private message on my website at t21mom.com, or you can even leave a little voicemail as well if you like, or you can just say hi. And it would also really mean a lot if you left a little review. You know, it helps us to be a little bit more searchable. And you can also do that on my website as well. Keep on loving on your rocking kiddos, and I'll see you next time.